Hello and welcome to Animal Voices. You are listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. I am Lauren Corman here with Carl Orzechowski. We're doing a best of program today, and of course this is part of the Spring Friends of 89.5 FM fundraising drive. And we hope that you stay tuned for the next hour to learn how you can donate on behalf of Animal Voices to CIUT to support this program, to send a message to CIUT that you believe in Animal Voices programming. But one of the things that's always fun about doing a fundraising show is that we feature some of the highlights from the past 6 months or so, and we have some really good clips that Carl put together of fun moments, interesting moments. We'll give you a bit of a taste too of some of our favorite programs that we've done, and it's really been a great run. I think over the past 6 months, it gives us this opportunity to do the fundraising gives us a chance to reflect on the type of programming that we offer. And one of the things that becomes clear is our continued dedication to featuring international listeners. We spoke with a group, for example, an animal rights group from Spain. We've also spoken with people from Mexico. We've done local stuff as well. We've interviewed a punk rock star. We interviewed Chris Hanna from the band Propaganda. We're going to play one of the clips from that show as well. We have also some other clips with people that have run sanctuaries. Those are always amazing shows. So it'll be a good program. I hope that you stay tuned. If you're interested in donating now and setting us off on a good foot for this fundraising drive, please do call in now. We'd love to hear from you. 416-946-7800. Or toll-free 1-888-204-8976. And maybe, Carl, I'll just get you to say hello as well.
Hi, everybody. I'm Carl. I'm your neighborhood tech, and I'm here every week.
What did you think about when you were going through the clips for the show?
I was actually very... I don't know, it's always good to go back over the last 6 months and take stock of everything we've done. It's always like, you know, the 6 months always goes by so quickly, and actually this was a little bit of a shorter cycle. It was only about 4.5 or 5 months. I really like the clips. I like that we had, as always, a good mix of international shows, local stuff directly involving individual animals, but also stuff that's a bit more philosophical and of
the
course
academic
it was,
interviews.
Yeah, and of course it was awesome to interview Chris again.
Right.
Love him.
Just to touch a little bit on the academic, one of the academic interviews that we did, we interviewed Jody Castricano about a book that she edited called Animal Subjects, An Ethical Reader in a Post-Human World, and definitely one of my favorite shows to date. And we're going to talk a bit about that interview and play a clip from that as well, where she talks about the relationship between this emergent field called animal studies. We try to feature scholars within that field. And so she was looking at those scholars within animal studies and how that intersects with cultural studies, which is you know, one of the most progressive fields, I would say, out there in terms of the university that looks at issues around sexism, racism, a lot of those ism, and looks at those questions around oppression. And so she was putting cultural studies and animal studies in conversation in that book, and gave us a really beautiful lecture. You can tell that she's an amazing professor. So how do you want to do this, Carl? Do you want to start with a clip right away?
Yeah, we could start with the Jody clip, or do you want to do something else?
Yeah, let's start with the Jody clip.
Okay.
And again, I should give you the number. We'd love to hear from you. A $25 donation makes you a member of CIUT, and it helps us meet our quota. And that's what it's all about, and helping to support this station, not just Animal Voices, but all the great programming that CIUT does here. So if you're interested, please do call us, 416-946-7800 if you're in Toronto, or toll-free, 1-888-204-8976. And this is part of an interview that we did with Jody Castricano. You can hear the full show by going to our website, animalvoices.ca. We have 260-something shows now archived on that website, and they're all available for free download. So we'll play the clip and we'll come back. One of the ways that you've talked about and you write about the book is that being an intervention into cultural studies.
Right. Okay. I think that cultural studies and critical theory have always aimed at critiquing a model of universal human commonality. There's always been this sense for a couple of hundred years at least that the human is a category or a species that goes without saying, that we can take for granted that it's all about nature, and really, when it gets down to it, the human has nothing to do with culture. Yet, what cultural studies has done in terms of an intervention into that idea, and I'll come around to that again when I'm talking about post-humanism, but cultural studies has been really vigilant and thinking about issues of racism and sexism and classism and ageism. And there are all of these isms that demonstrate their arbitrariness within culture that are also issues of power and who gets to have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, historically speaking, the human has always been a Western European Caucasian male. You know, and we're talking issues of authority, and I mean, these, you know, go back quite a long ways, you know, to really theological, patristic times. But consequently, cultural studies I've seen as being an intervention into looking at the power politics of identity and what enables authoritative voices. And when it comes to the human, what we've learned, or at least if we're paying attention, is that the human has been a category that has relied heavily on another category that's not usually thought of, and that's what isn't human. So it gains its identity from everything that it excludes. At one time, it could have been slaves, because slaves were not considered to be human. It could have been women, because, well, pretty well women weren't considered human, but they sure weren't until the last century in Canada even considered persons. It was that famous persons case in the 1920s. In which women challenged the fact that they were not considered in the British North America Act as persons. So, you know, and we have rather short memories when we start to understand the arbitrariness of these kinds of categories. So when we think about feminist issues or queer issues or issues regarding racism or any kind of ism like that, we start to realize how they are posed or poised historically in that they exclude others. And really, I find that with cultural studies, because it has taken on this interventionist politics in terms of interdisciplinarity and calling into question all of the kinds of borders that determine identity or determine power or authority, that the one category that always remains excluded,
mm-hmm.
in order that we can still talk about these things, is that of the animal or the non-human animal, because still to be human means not to be one of,
mm-hmm.
those. And I mean, this has really been, I think, brought forward in a lot of the work by the people in this particular volume, people like Rod Preece, people like Carrie Wolfe, Donna Haraway in particular. These are all people who have actually been questioning that border that has maintained a certain kind of identity within a capitalist system, and where we're talking about, we're really talking about a kind of military-industrial complex in which those sorts of relationships often depend on all of those who get excluded. So to intervene in cultural studies, for me, which is this field that has a lot of potential and has done a lot of great cultural work in not only in just thinking about equalities, but in actually calling into question those kinds of ideological assumptions that people have that go without saying, that really determine, again, those sorts of power situations, if you will. Who has any rights? You know, when you think about determinations and categories and the way that we define things, language itself tells us the problem. If we even look today at the say in the last 5 to 10 years, the debates regarding what constitutes a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we start to see, again, if we're sort of ideologically mindful, that there's a great interest and in what some critics would call compulsory heterosexuality that goes into determining family. Well, that's a word, that's a container almost for these struggles, power struggles. So the category of the animal, and I'm not talking about animals out there and all of the ones for whom this is about. But that category itself has sustained the non-question for cultural studies. It's a kind of area of silence. It's a vacuum. It's sort of a...
I want to call it the elephant in the room.
Yeah, totally. That's it. That's perfect. Yeah.
Hi, welcome back to Animal Voices. That was a clip with Jodi Castracano. We were talking in that interview about her new book called Animal Subjects, An Ethical Reader in a Post-Human World. That full interview is available on the Animal Voices website, animalvoices.ca. For any of the clips that you hear actually during this fundraising show / best of show, you can go to our website and download those programs in their complete versions. So, Carl, I don't know if you have anything that you wanted to share about fundraising. I know that we spend a lot of time gearing up for this program, and it's because we both really love doing this show and believe in it a tremendous amount. So maybe I'll just turn it over to you to say a little bit about why you've been involved in the show, and maybe we can break the news, the big news, to our listeners as well.
Well, maybe you want to break the big news about your own.
This is the historic moment on Animal Voices. I'm actually retiring from the program after 8 years, which is sad for me, but I'll still be around for a couple more months at least. But I did get a job, and I'm actually going to be teaching critical animal studies and sociology at Brock University, which is a pretty huge, amazing opportunity, something that I'm really excited about. But it means that I actually won't be living in Toronto anymore. So it had to happen at some point in terms of letting the show go. And of course, it's been a tremendously amazing and informative journey for me, really one of the highlights of my life. And Carl will actually be taking over the show full time,
which is a little bit terrifying, but it's, I don't know. I've been really thankful for the opportunity to actually be on this show, for the past three or four years. First as a sit-in person who just sat beside Lauren as she did her interviews and, marveled at how she could, think on her feet so quickly. And then as a tech person, and now, I guess I'll be hosting, and, it's a little bit scary, but I'm really looking forward to taking part in these dialogues and keeping things going.
You're going to be great.
We'll see about that.
I know that I have a list right now that I've made of shows that I need to do before I actually go, but do you feel like you want to take the show in a particular direction, or there's people that you're excited to speak with, or ideas that you're interested in exploring?
I'd definitely like to do more sort of audio documentaries, like the one that we did for the Vegan Bake Off, and I don't know that it'll be easier to do that with you gone, or harder, because you were so great during that event, and it really made it easy for me to just concentrate on recording. But I would definitely like to do a little bit more sort of audio documentary work. I know we've talked about this for before you leave the program, but I definitely want to do some more stuff on rodeos. I mean,
which
that just relates
to my own
work.
That's the focus of your master's right now.
Yeah, that is the focus of my master's. So,
if you have topics that you'd like me to cover before I hand the show over entirely to Carl, you can always write us, you know, specifically about that. But to any feedback, we always love to hear from our listeners. You can write us at animalvoices@gmail.com. Again, that's animalvoices, all one word, @gmail.com. If you're just tuning in, we're doing the spring Friends of 89.5 fundraising show today, which is also, we use it as an opportunity to feature some of our best programming since the last fundraising drive. And we would love it if you donated. Each membership, so a $25 donation, goes to meet our quota and sends a strong message to CIUT that you support this program, would like to see this program continue. If you're interested in doing that, we would greatly appreciate it. You can call us at 416-946-7800 or toll free 1-888-204-8976. And I know we have a lot of people who listen online, and so if you're near a computer, you can also go to CIUT.fm, so www.ciut.fm, and donate over the internet. They have a secure server and all that stuff as well. I should say for people too that donate and who live near Toronto or in Toronto, we are also doing a Fressen Dinner for Two giveaway. And for people who don't know what Fressen is, it is a gourmet vegan restaurant in Toronto. It's a really fun, great place to bring a date or your parents or anybody you want to go celebrate with. So if you're interested, we will include you. So if you make a $25 donation and you become a friend of 89.5, we are going to to do this draw not at the end of this program, because it always gets a little hairy because people often, for some reason, wait until the last minute to call in. We hope that doesn't happen this time, but it usually does. And but we will do the draw at the end of the show, and then we will let people know the following week who won, and then we'll send out the gift certificate right away. So I think we'll probably go to another clip. Do you have a hankering for one at this point? So we started off with some theory, which is an interesting way to kick off the fundraising show.
I really like Peter Young, and I like that clip a lot. And we were listening to the clips last night, and Lauren said, "You can tell you picked this clip out."
Yeah, your hands all over these clip selections. So this is a clip with Peter Young, and I think that I probably set it up in the clip itself, but Peter Young is a convicted ALF activist, so an animal liberation front activist. And this is, you know, obviously one of the most controversial aspects of the animal rights movement and liberation movements is people who actually go and break the law, and break into cages, and take animals out. Sometimes people do acts of vandalism and that kind of thing. But Peter Young was convicted because he did a series of mink farm raids in 1997, I believe. And of course, a lot of time has passed since then, and people talk about how the climate for that type of activism has changed. And so I asked him to reflect on that now, how he thinks about direct action and those types of activities, and whether or not people are at a greater threat of being caught, and whether or not that would dissuade people from doing the types of things that he obviously believes very strongly in terms of getting animals away from places of torture and death. So this is Peter Young reflecting on that.
One of the things that you've talked about before is the ease at which people can raid these farms and open the cages. And I'm wondering if you still feel that that's true. Has the security levels changed now as you know, reflecting back on those actions that were happening in 1997? I know that the profile of animal activism has changed under the rhetoric of terrorism. Is it the same gig now, do you think, for people to be involved and to do those ALF actions in the same way?
You know, I think one of the greatest myths that people tell themselves, and it's almost like something that we it's almost self-imposed when it comes to the animal rights movement, is that there are things that you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore because these places are too fortified. And I'm not just speaking of fur farms. I'm speaking of laboratories. I'm speaking of slaughterhouses. I'm speaking of anything that people might think of and say, wow, well, that's got to be, you know, something that's extremely fortified that I could never get into. And that's just simply not the case. I remember when I was first getting involved, people would talk about the glory days of the 80s when it was so simple to get inside of laboratories, and how these activists would go in the middle of the night, you know, and raid these labs and get these animals out, and how you simply couldn't do that anymore. Well, nobody actually had any factual basis for this belief. It was just something that had kind of this myth that had kind of perpetuated throughout the movement. You know, and there certainly had not been any lab raids in over 10 years. And then sure enough, in 1999, in 1999, you had activists break into a laboratory at the University of Minnesota, and they got 116 animals out of that lab and did over $2 million in damage to the equipment in that laboratory. And everybody kind of stood back and said, wow, we didn't think that could be done anymore. This is a University of Minnesota, laboratory. And then sure enough, within a year afterwards, you had three or four more lab raids in quick succession. And the years since, it's been proven that you can absolutely get inside these labs. It's really a question of how bad you want it. I've been somebody who has poked around laboratories and factory farms and you name it probably more than anybody. And one of the things I noticed, particularly when I was getting involved and actually going out and looking at these places, is that every single time that we set our mind to getting inside of a building, we always got in. Every single time. If you just stand outside of a building and just stand there and stare and know that there are animals inside that need you, you will always find a way in. And that's always been my experience, whether it's a slaughterhouse, factory farm, fur farm, or something up all the way up to a laboratory. There's always a way in. And I think people need to recognize that and not simply have, you know, sort of adopt these limiting beliefs that have no factual basis, such as, oh, well, that's too hard, we can't do that anymore.
Do you think people are scared now, considering the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act? There's a new fear for surrounding this type of action?
Yeah, and it absolutely is the case, and it's quite unfortunate, because I think that we don't really take a step back and look at the entire range of, the statistics that are available to us. What people don't really keep in mind is that there have been over 1,000 ALF actions since 1979, And of those actions, only a very, very small number of people have been actually arrested. And of those people, a very, very small number have actually done substantive prison time. So, I mean, the chances of getting arrested for an ALF action are minuscule at best. So I think people need to look at it in terms, not in terms of, well, what's going to happen if I get caught, but look at it in terms of the chances of me getting caught are insignificant at best. And people do need to have a realistic understanding and they do need to prepare for the possibility of getting arrested. But if you actually look at the statistics, it's a statistically insignificant chance that anyone will get caught if you exercise a little bit of caution and carry out, just a basic security protocol.
Hi, welcome back. That was a clip with Peter Young, who is a convicted Animal Liberation Front activist. It was a really fascinating interview, certainly one of the more controversial ones that we've done on Animal Voices. You can go to our website, animalvoices.ca, and listen to that program, or there's a number of actually of other programs that we have with people who've talked about the ALF or have been involved in Animal Liberation Front activities. And one of the things that's so important to me about those shows is that I feel like there's often a lot of debate about the Animal Liberation Front, but we very rarely hear from the activists who have been involved themselves and their own ideas and feelings about why they chose that particular route. So one of the things that I've really enjoyed about doing Animal Voices is that we can provide a platform for, fairly marginalized voices, not only just within society in general, but within the animal movements themselves. And Peter Young was, a very compelling person to listen to, agree or disagree. He certainly is very thoughtful in his approach. So I wanted to let people know, of course, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Spring Friends of 89.5 fundraising drive, and this is the Animal Voices show to be part of that fundraising drive, and we are trying to make our quota. So please do help us. If you make a $25 donation, you become a friend of 89.5, and this is such an important drive in particular because CIUT is moving, which is really wild. We won't be in this building for much longer. We're going to be moving to a Hart House on the U of T campus, so that's kind of exciting, but it means there's increased pressure to make sure that we get those fundraising dollars coming in. Please do call us, 416-946-7800, or toll free 1-888-204-8976. And I'm really happy to have our two phone volunteers that were willing to come in and work those phones for us. We have Sue and Ray. And for people who have been listening to the program for a while, you might have heard Hush Money, an all-vegan band, and Carl's involved with that band too, and Ray is the other half. So if you want to hear from the other half of Hush Money, chances are if you call in, you'll probably get to talk with Ray. And we also have Sue here, and people might know Sue from the interview that we recently did with her about her lovely chocolates. She is a vegan chocolatier, and we talked with her about Boardwalk chocolates, and in particular, we focused on the art of making truffles, and it was a delicious show.
And Sue makes a serious, serious truffle.
And they're fair trade and organic.
And they'll destroy your taste buds
and ruin everything
else that you could possibly eat because everything else will be worse.
And she's so great, and so we're really happy that she's here, so thank you to Sue and Ray for coming in. I should say right away, we have had a couple of people, more than that actually, now call in and make donations. There's been people who made pre-pledges as well. I wanted to acknowledge them. We have David Christensen, who made a generous donation. Thank you so much. We have Vanessa Franco and Shashi. I'm just going to call him Shashi because that's how he signs his emails. Marisa King, thank you so much for making your donation. We really appreciate it. And one of our perennial guests on Animal Voices, who is an incredible support to the program, Ray Sakura. And I think it's fair to say I love this woman. She's a really amazing advocate. She's been doing humane education, human rights work, environmental work, social justice work for a few decades now. It's pretty impressive. And we've done a number of interviews with her. And we most recently talked with her about the Veg Fund. For people who maybe didn't catch that show, if you're interested, if you are wanting to offer vegetarian or I guess vegan food at an event that would otherwise not have vegan food, there is this amazing thing now called the Veg Fund, and you would submit your receipts for the food that you made, and you would get that money back because there's been this very large anonymous donation that's been made, and that Ray Sakura and others are now coordinating and making sure that activists that want to provide food, because it's a great outreach tool to get introduce people to veganism, so a diet without animal products, by actually handing them some really tasty food and to start a dialogue that way. So that's the Veg Fund. The interview that we did with Ray about the Veg Fund will be archived within about a week or so. We have a bit of a backlog right now, but that show should be up soon. We also did a program as well that was really, I thought, really amazing about companion animal loss, and that will be up soon too. You're nodding your head, Carl?
I am. We should go to a few ads that we have to play.
Okay, let's do it.
And then maybe we'll come back with the clip of Ingrid Newkirk.
Okay, and I'm going to give our numbers one more time. This is the fundraising show, and it's really important if you're waffling on whether or not you're going to donate. Every time somebody makes a donation to CIUT and on behalf of Animal Voices, it sends a really strong message to CIUT that you want to see this program continue and that you benefit from the shows that we do. So if you want to help us send that message to CIUT that the show is important, that it should continue, please do call in 416-946-7800 or toll free 1-888-204-8976. Hi, welcome back to the show. You are listening to Animal Voices, CIUT 89.5 FM. This is our fundraising show and also best of show. We're really glad that you're joining us today. I wanted to do a little bit of an overview of the program just because I think it's important to kind of articulate our vision, take the opportunity during the fundraising shows to articulate the vision of the program and the mandate that's really informed the program for over a decade. The show's been on the air since 1996, and when I took over the program with co-host Najda, we wanted to continue the legacy that was coming before us with Mira Soleil Ross, who was hosting the show with her partner Mark Karbusicki. And they were interested in and had created programs that were trying to put the social justice and environmental movements in conversation with the animal movements. And that's something that we continually try to do, and it hopefully gets reflected in, you know, 99% of the programming that we offer. So it's that kind of intersectional approach, ideas in conversation, speaking across movements. So that's one of the things that I think sets Animal Voices apart from some other animal rights podcasts. Not that they don't do important work too, but this is the center of our mandate, if we could call it that. We don't have an official mandate, but it's certainly something that informs the program and will continue when Carl takes over the show. It's really wild to say that. When Carl takes over the show.
Yeah, it's wild to hear it too.
It's going to be, as I said, it's going to be great. One of the things too that Animal Voices does is it provides an alternative to mainstream media and their coverage of animal rights, which is often extremely biased, very unfavorable, and really doesn't give the opportunity for activists to speak for themselves, or does it in such a way that it is digestible, kind of small sound bites, and you don't get a chance to really get in depth into issues. And that's something that really is important to me with the program, that we give people the space to really, you know, hash through a topic and look at the nuance of their arguments and to allow them to reflect on the work that they do in a variety of ways. Carl had mentioned, and I had as well at the beginning of this show, that one of the things too that I think that makes us unique and important is that we try to find those international groups and activists that are doing work for animals all over the world. I think there's a very common misconception that only white North Americans are interested in animal rights or do animal rights, and that is just not true. We've spoken with activists from all over the world that do work for animals, really progressive, interesting things to make the lives of animals better where they are. So that's a few reasons why I think that the show should continue. It gives you a sense of the type of approach that we bring, which hopefully is very obvious just through the types of interviews that we continue to feature. And Carl, I know you got a paper there.
More pledges.
All right, hit us up.
We thank you very much, Levi Waldron, Helen Cohen, Dylan Powell, Gudrun Hines.
Gudrun!
I don't know who that is.
I love her. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Gudrun. I hope you're smiling right now. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
And Fernando Tresmundi.
Fantastic.
Excellent. New names, some old names. It's very, very nice to hear.
It makes us feel great. Yeah, very exciting. I'm so glad to see this response. And please do keep those donations coming in. And Carl, you have another paper here.
I do. I'm just shuffling through
I'm curious.
Business papers, you know, mostly business papers. But I also have some fun time papers here, and I've got a testimonial that I wanted to read.
Oh, yeah. People wrote us some really lovely testimonials. I know that we had asked people, if you have a chance, either in addition to a pledge or alternative to a pledge, you could write us and tell us a little bit about why Animal Voices is important to you. We're encouraged by the CIUT staff and volunteers to provide a variety of voices, and we have a lot of people who listen to us as podcasts and can't necessarily call in during the live show, so people wrote us letters, and we're going to hear one of them now.
Yes, this is coming to us from Sunny Raja, and Sunny runs a catering company that is awesome, and they're called Vegan Delights. You can check them out at www.vegandelights.ca, and he wrote in, amongst other things, besides offering to help us with fundraising, he wrote in to say, I always listen to Animal Voices to learn more about animal rights, other people's ideas and efforts in making our planet a more compassionate, peaceful place. Really appreciate the news section, too. If you could possibly get across to your audience, our money-driven society can only change based on our quote-unquote spending, voting with our dollars. Every non-veg meal, an item that we consume, is a vote against an ultimately peaceful existence. Yes, that seems like an insanely utopian, idealistic chain of thought till you apply. One must become the change that one wants. We can't change the world or others, only ourselves. Peace, blessings, and thank you for the hard work that you do. And that's Sunny Raja, who runs Vegan Delights, awesome catering company, and we hope to actually do some fundraising with him in the near future. He's offered to help us with an event, and we're going to have a nice big dinner, maybe invite all you donors and give you a nice little plate of something delicious.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sunny. It really means a lot to us. I should let people know that if you make a donation and become a friend of 89.5, one of the special things that we're going to do for our donors is we're going to do a draw for a Fressen dinner. So the gourmet vegan restaurant in Toronto called Fressen. Very generously, Stephen Gardner, who is the proprietor of Fressen, has, as always, given us a dinner for two that we will be able to pass on to one of our lucky listeners and donors. So we won't be announcing that the draw results this show, but at the beginning of next week's show, we'll make sure to let you know who won. And so for people who haven't been to Fressen, or if you've already been, you know that the food is very tasty. It's a great place to sit and chat with people and just to enjoy a beautiful, delicious meal. I haven't been there in a while, and I really want to go.
And we'll also contact the winner by email. Yeah. You don't have to listen to the show next week, although we hope that you do. I wanted to mention too, there's all sorts of other prizes that you can win if you donate to Animal Voices through CIUT. You can win, between $25 and $59, you get a quarterly newsletter and an entry into the grand prize draws. From $60 to $99, you get a choice of a CIUT t-shirt, a ball cap, or a tote bag. You also get the quarterly newsletter, and you get an entry into grand prize draws. And the interesting thing about this fundraising drive is that if you donate $89.5 or up, you will get your name on CIUT's Friends Wall. As you know, we're moving to Hard House, and there's going to be a Friends of CIUT wall, and you can get your name on that bad boy for $89.5 or up. That level of donation also gets you into the grand prize draws. There's all sorts of crazy stuff. You can win Norco Scorcher bike, a membership to Hard House Athletic Center, an arts and culture prize pack, and the list goes on and on.
I like that we're getting a good flavor. We have a view for a while, Carl, but in terms of our different approaches to doing radio, I probably wouldn't have used the expression bad boy to talk about a wall.
I would have.
I know that you would have. I think that the show's going to go in some exciting directions.
You just wait to see that bad boy. It's going to be a crazy
wall. Wow. So that I should let people know again, if you're interested in donating, as Carl said, there's some other great prizes that you can win. You can win some of those bad boys by calling 416-946-7800. I'm not nearly as uptight as I'm making myself sound right now.
No, you're not a fuddy-duddy.
I'm not a fuddy-duddy. The fact that, although I have used, I've used that expression, and I also, when we were interviewing Sarah Kramer a while ago about her new book called Vegan A Go-Go, and Sarah's a very famous vegan cookbook author, I was talking about hanging out with friends and making pierogies, and then a pickling party that we did, and I said it was a hoot. and then I felt really old.
That was a hoot.
It was a hoot. Anyway, if you'd like to have a hoot with us at Animal Voices, we'd love to announce your name and to thank you publicly for making a donation. 416-946-7800 if you're in Toronto, or toll-free 1-888-204-8976. And Carl, I wanted to make sure that we have a chance to play the clip with Sherry Delaney. And Sherry Delaney, this was one of my favorite shows over the past little while. We talked with her about her work for the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary that's outside of Toronto. And I was really actually a little bit embarrassed that we hadn't talked to her sooner. We hadn't had her on the program before. And this is a clip talking about a day in the life of running a primate sanctuary. I would definitely encourage people to check out this interview in its complete version by going to animalvoices.ca. Sherry is a very inspirational person, and she does great work. So please enjoy this clip. Can you give a sense of what it takes to run a sanctuary? What does a day in the life of the Storybook Farm look like?
Well, my day normally starts out roughly at about 5:30 in the morning, where I'm getting ready to go to my work, which currently pays for the sanctuary. Before I head into work, though, I go down to the barn, and I have to feed Yoshi, who is a very special man in my eyes. He is an elderly Japanese macaque, and Yoshi was actually our first resident to Storybook Farm. He and his partner, who has since passed on, Keiko, came to us roughly 10 years ago or more, and when they came, unbeknownst to us, we were actually getting them out of research. So they had been tested on. We don't know what the tests were done, but they had some scarring that is consistent with animal testing. Now, Yoshi also has a very lengthy tattoo on him, which at some point in time, when I'm ever able to record that number, I will try and find out what his life was like. But in the morning times, he's given his age now, he's blind, he has no teeth, he's an elderly gentleman. I give him Boost in the morning, and I prepare him with a breakfast of grapes, banana, bread, and some sweet treat of, you know, cake or something along those lines, just to kind of keep him interested. And I get him settled in for the morning, and I change up his bed. He's a little incontinent at his age now, and so I get him prepared for the day, and then I go off to work. I spend my work time in Whitby, and then I come back home, and coming in the door, I'm accosted by five dogs who all have felt that I've been gone much too long, and in the summertime, you can actually hear the monkeys screaming when the car pulls down the driveway. They all get very excited because they know that I'm going to be out in the barn, or me and helpers, and darn it all, they want their dinner and they want their treats and they want their toys, and that's the way it's got to be. So that's kind of the start, and then I make my way down to the barn where we prepare dinner bowls for everyone, and every night we try and do something different in their dinner bowls. One night they may have pudding. Some nights they would have maybe a potatoes, or it could be raw, it could be mashed, it could have a little bit of butter in it for flavor. Yoshi seems to really like sweet, organic sweet potato soup at this stage of the game too. Mm. But in their dinner bowl, they will get peanuts or a mixture of nuts. They will get ample fruit. We try and do grapes every night. We try and do pear every night, banana every night. And then you take your other fruits and vegetables, such as mango and kiwi, and you change it up. You offer them celery or celery root or broccoli. About a month ago, I spent the day making a batch of broccoli soup. It went over okay with some. Some liked it. Some thought, "What the heck was I thinking?" You know, it's all very different. And what works one night for one doesn't work the next night. They snub their nose at it. It's actually much like having 21 children. They you know, one day they may want, you know, something, and then the next day they hate it. So they're all very individual, and every night is an adventure for sure.
They keep you on your toes.
They keep me on my toes. That's for sure. And we try and change up dinner and make it interesting for them, because it, we do try and provide enrichment. This is the one thing that you have when you have animals who are, and I have to say this for a lack of better terms, I can try and make it sound better, but they are in cages, right? This is their lives. So it's our job to make those areas that they live in home and give them things to do. I kind of, when I talk to people about the primates, I kind of say, this is like me going to my doctor's office, and I'm sitting in his office waiting for him to come in, and what is normally 10 or 15 minutes sometimes feels like hours, and, mm-hmm. and you know, the magazines are no good because they're from 3 years earlier, and so you pick the lint off your pants, and you fidget in your seat, and you fluff your hair, or you do whatever, but you're bored already, you're bored, and that's their life. So what we need to do, us as caregivers, we need to make those lives interesting. And we do it through enrichment. And part of their dinner is enrichment. So when we get them their dinners, we'll often put it in a paper bag or a box, because then it becomes a present. Hmm. It becomes something interesting to rip into, and what's in here, and what has she given us today? And then, you know, even when they get maybe the broccoli that they don't want, at least they've made that conscious decision. They've picked it up. They've thrown it to the ground. They, you know, they've had to think about that process, right? And that's how you need to treat their entire lives, or while they're in our care, is you've got to take these steps to give them things to do, right? And so enrichment, it still goes with the dinner, but it also encompasses other parts of their lives as well. Like you, in the summertime, we give them the outside. The outside is the best thing you can offer, because you have the sunlight, you've got the wind, you've even got the rain. Those are things that they need, you know. Mm. Funny story here. We have a baboon. Her name is Sweet Pea, and she's a lovely girl. And we have Charmaine, who is a wonderful lady who comes out and helps. She was going to Borneo last year, and she brought Sweet Pea this purple purse. And it was a very fluffy purple purse, and Sweet Pea likes fluffy things. She likes to touch them, to feel them, to lay on them. So this purple purse came in, and we gave it to Pea right away, and Sweet Pea thought it was the most wonderful thing. But what she did is she put the handles over her head, and she was wearing it. And she thought she looked absolutely gorgeous wearing this purse. And for all of the people that were around, we all kind of stopped for a moment and looked at Pea, who was definitely looking her best in her eyes, and we all had a chuckle. And she saw us laughing at her. Mm. Well, in our eyes, we were laughing because it was cute. In Pea's eyes, we were laughing at her. And she took that purple purse off of her head. She ripped it off of her head. She threw it onto the ground. She gave us a look like you wouldn't believe. And she went inside. And she wouldn't look at that purse until the next day.
That was a clip from the interview that we did with Sherry Delaney, talking about her work with the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary. And one of the things I really like about that clip and just that show overall is we really get a sense of animals as agents and individuals in their lives. And as the story with the purple purse so clearly indicates, the whole range of emotions that non-human animals are often denied or thought to just not have. Clearly there's a lot going on, and that they have an ability to feel a great deal, and to interact with their surroundings in complex ways, and have all sorts of different relationships with others. And so I really appreciated that show, and would really encourage people to go and check out the complete version by going to our website, animalvoices.ca. And Sherry gets into a little bit more detail, not just about some of the individuals that are at the primate sanctuary, but about the exotic animal trade in Canada and the lack of legislation and regulations to help those animals. And she touches on, as she she did in that clip about animal experimentation and that kind of thing. I think it's a really fantastic show. I'm glad that we got a chance to talk with her. We are doing our fundraising show. If you are just tuning in, you can call us and make a donation to CIUT on behalf of Animal Voices. Help send a message to CIUT that you'd like to see this program continue and that you think that the programming is important. You can call us 416-946-7800 or toll free if you're out of town 1-888-204-8976. And I should say a quick thank you to some of our other donors. We have Jackie Canelli. Thank you so much. Sean Corman. So my brother came out and represented. That was pretty nice of him. He's a great support to the program. Wendy King, Carrie Hamilton, my mom, also a supporter of the program. Robert Davey, thank you so much. And Joselle Palacios. And we're actually going to hear a testimonial. And Joselle was one of our guests recently on the program when we did an interview with about the website Vegans of Color. It's a blog. And we might not get a chance to play that clip just as we're wrapping up the program. But basically, one of the things that we concentrated on during the Vegans of Color interview when we were interviewing Johanna and Joselle, we were talking about some of the debates within the vegan and animal rights movements and some of the problems. And so that's something that we also try to do, is be self-reflexive about the state of the animal rights and vegan movements, and have a bit of an internal dialogue, obviously, about where things could be improved. And they talked about some of the racism and white supremacy within the movement, although of course it's diverse and this doesn't speak necessarily to the whole movement, but some of those more problematic and oppressive things that do go on within, I guess, any movement, but we are specifically looking at the animal rights movement. So that was the Vegans of Color interview. And so Joselle very kindly made a donation to Animal Voices and also took the time to write us a testimonial about why this show is important to her.
She says, Animal Voices was one of the resources that inspired me to go vegan. I love the wide range of topics the show covers. I love that thanks to Lauren's thoughtful questioning and Carl's eye-opening news pieces, each episode delves deeply into its topic rather than just skimming the surface. Animal Voices has opened my eyes to so much truth that has changed my life. It was truly an honor to be a small part of the show as a guest a few months back. Thank you so much. Take care, Joselle.
That was such a great email to receive. The idea that we could help change people's lives or change people's perspectives. I feel that I'm constantly changed by the program and I always learn new things. Been studying these issues and being involved in the movement for about 10 years now, and I'm continually having my ignorance shattered by interviewing guests on the program. And so it's really an honor for me to continue to do the show. And if you would like to see the show continue, we'd love to hear from you. By making a $25 donation, you become a friend of 89.5. You can call us 416-946-7800 or toll free 1-888-204-8976. And I just wanted to give a quick overview of some of the programming that we did offer, just to maybe encourage you to go to our website, animalvoices.ca, and download these programs. And also just to give you a sense of, you know, what it is that we've done since the last fundraising drive. So we did a program called Local Work, Animal Overpopulation and Food Sovereignty in Mexico. We did a show called Pushing the Envelope, Animal Rights in Spain. We did a show called Not Asking for Permission, former ALF activist Peter Young. We played a clip from that show. We also had the Vegans of Color show, as I mentioned, and we did an interview, a very controversial interview with a controversial figure called With Every Fiber of Her Being, Ingrid Newkirk Talks About Changing the World. And of course, for people who don't know, Ingrid Newkirk is the president of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, the largest animal rights organization. Debatable whether or not it's animal rights per se, but I'll leave that for now. So she's a president, and we had her on talking about her new book as well as reflecting on her many years of animal work. We also did a show called Pro Anima, Animal Rights Lessons from Brazil, and we did the show obviously with Sue Moffitt and Ben, who came in and talked about fair trade chocolate, which was a great show. And then we also had another person that I very much admire. We had Colleen Patrick Goudreau on, and she talked about her really wonderful podcast, Food for Thought.
Let's read some more names.
Okay.
I have someone who just called in, Joanne Bacon, Cindy Rook, Christine Lucas, Harish Sethu, Deborah Kaplan, Teresa Koppel, Dana Abedi, Adam Pierce, and Neil T. Thompson. You guys are awesome.
You
guys have kept
list.
Us afloat. And I actually wanted to just quickly read a testimonial that we got from Dana. This is a very, very nice letter, and it was really, really nice to get. She says, I recently discovered your podcast and enjoyed the thoughtfulness and intelligence that goes into them. I've been vegetarian for 25 years and vegan for 3. I appreciate that your program understands that there are some of us out here who are familiar with the issues. You're able to engage people new to these issues while also keeping the programs interesting and thought-provoking for us veterans. I love the interviews, especially Neil Barnard. The only other vegan in my small community gave up animal products when she was diagnosed with cancer. So she is vegan solely for her own health and cares nothing about the ethical component of veganism. She works for a drug manufacturer and thinks it is okay to test on animals, then murder them. So she isn't much company. Thanks for doing what you do. My only criticism is that the program is so infrequent. I would love to hear you more often. Fortunately, you have quite a few programs on your website to keep me busy for a while. And, oh, and also we're just getting word that Brooke Larson has also made a donation. So thank you to everybody. This is a volunteer run program.
Yeah.
And we appreciate all of your support. You can still make a donation, 416-946-7800, or toll free 1-888-204-8976.
I'm so heartened by the response that we've received. This is probably going to be the last fundraising drive that I do unless Carl ropes me back in to do a show.
I keep joking with Lauren that I'm bringing her back for the fundraising shows. And then she says, no, that makes it sound like you actually have the power to bring me back, which I know.
But I'll come back and I'll do guest appearance and that kind of thing. But it's really a great way for me to leave the fundraising show. I can tell that this is going to be hard to let go of the program because I'm already getting wistful about not doing the fundraising shows anymore. But thank you so much for your donations today. It means so much to us. There's, as Carl said, it's a volunteer-run program. There's 3 people that put together the show each week, and it really is a labor of love. It takes me about 10 to 15 hours to organize the show and do the research required to do the interviews. We have Neil Harvey, who deserves a huge thank you as well. He does the technical end of the podcast, so he'll do all the conversion to MP3s and making sure that we make those available both in a higher and lower quality. So for people who are still on dial-up, you can check out our shows by going to animalvoices.ca. And also, if you have faster connections and you want to listen to the programs, there's those higher quality versions as well. And Neil not only does the conversions, but he does some editing for us as well. And he's just a huge support and our go-to guy.
He's a wizard.
We love Neil.
Electro wizard.
Yeah. And then Carl, of course, puts together the news and does some of the production for the show as well, and then does the actual teching. And often will come in if I'm not here, too. So thank you, Carl.
No problem. Thank you, Lauren, for doing such an awesome job hosting. And thanks for actually thinking that I'll do a good enough job to take over the show when you're gone.
I definitely think that you will, you know. And one of the things that's been so important to me about the program, and I think that you're a good example of it, is that trying to bring people in that maybe weren't necessarily always animal rights people. I mean, who is? But I really think that one of the best things about the program is that you get to feature people's stories and hear their journeys and find out how they started to learn more, and that the fact that Animal Voices can be part of that for so many people, and that we can help people learn more about these issues that are so important and so often neglected, is obviously huge. I also, one of the things I really like about the program and that feels important to me, and that I know, Carl, you'll continue doing as well, is that it's really a chance to honor the work of activists and scholars that often don't get a lot of public recognition. I think that animal work tends to be very kind of alienating for some people, and it's an honor just to say thank you to people. So I want to take the opportunity now just to say thank you to all of our guests that have been on the show, and of course, specifically those who have been on since our last fundraising drive. You guys were great, and we were glad that you took the time to share your message with our listeners. We have one more minute left.
Yeah, and I would just like to say, I mean, I know we've been saying this throughout the show, but thank you to everyone who's donated. It really sends a message to CIUT that you want to see this type of programming continue, but it also sends a message to Lauren and I, and to Neil, who put in lots of hours into this show, that you like what we do and you appreciate what we do, and I can't tell you enough how much that means to us.
I think this has been our most successful drive to date, and that is huge. thank you, thank you, thank you. And also, it's not a one-way dialogue, obviously. We would love to hear from you. You can have a direct impact on this show by writing us. You can also make comments on the forum by going to animalvoices.ca. There's a place to put your comments on the show. But we're very open to hearing your ideas for upcoming programs or feedback about the show. We've had so many people who've written us over the years to suggest different guests or ideas, topics that we could explore. And then we do follow up. It might take us a while, but we do follow up and seek out those guests and let our show expand and be shaped by our listeners as well. So it's all about what you guys want to hear as well. So thanks. And we're going out now. Thank you again to Ray and Sue. And please stay tuned for Dos Mundos, one of my very favorite shows on CIUT. Can't say enough about Sergio and this program. Love it, love it, love it. And please do donate for his program as well. He keeps us rocking and rolling, and I just love his show. So show some love to Sergio coming up.